I know Dan already prayed, but I'd just like to dedicate this again. Jesus, thank you that you are the only reason we are here today. Only for you, Lord. I ask that you'll just open our hearts so that your word would be penetrating and that we would be those who would be teachable, not like those that presume to know the extents of your plans and your will. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I asked the Lord what he would like to share with us today. This is an interesting time of the year because oftentimes we sort of going for something, whatever God's doing that's new and fresh. But for those who don't know, normally at the end of January, there's an elders time in Cape Town. And oftentimes that very much sets the trend for the year. So this first part of January is normally quite an interesting time where you're wanting to find something fresh in the Lord, but you also really am to hear what the Lord's doing with our body as a whole. So this morning, the Lord did actually speak to me about what he wants to speak on. But before I get there, I want Bryden to come share a word that the Lord gave him because it really resonated well with what the Lord gave me. And I'm thankful that he confirmed it with the prophetic.
Yeah. Hello, everyone. Yeah, so on Wednesday morning, in my quiet time, I was asking the Lord, like, what do you want to say? And he showed me something, like, immediately. I was like, whoa. Crazy. So what I felt him say is he wants to do a new thing. And I know we hear that every year, but I really felt like he wants to scrap everything we thought we knew and he wants to flip it on its head. So I felt him say specifically in the way we relate to each other, he's going to change the way we do that. He's going to change the way that we worship corporately. He's going to change our quiet times. But the question is, this is it. Are we ready for him to do that? Are our hearts in the right place? So I want to leave that with you. Cool.
There's a saying in English, I might get it wrong because I'm not English, but you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Let's not be old dogs. God wants to do something fresh. And so if you're taking notes, I've titled this Rivers in the Desert. Rivers in the Desert. Rivieren in die woestijn. So don't just answer what you think is right. Who of you really believe that in God's kingdom, the best is yet to come? Yes. Who knows that also it'll become worse before it becomes better? Yes. But the best is yet to come. So I want to tell you, you know, Dan shared beautifully last week. I know that because I listened to the recording. I was preoccupied at the back with the toddler. But he shared beautifully about three pans. I'm going to try and remember. It was pan-millennialism. It was pandemonium. And let me get this one right. Pan-pan, 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 pan-pan. Was that it? It was four times. Okay. So this morning, and sticking to the theme, I also want to tell you a story that relates to cookware. So if you'll bear with me, I want to tell you a quick story. There was a young woman that prepared a beautiful meal. Does someone want to count how often I say beautiful? Apparently, it's every third word. Flag me if I say the word beautiful. She prepared a beautiful meal for a bunch of her girlfriends. And they had a little girl party, and she made a roast chicken. One of her friends enjoyed it so much that afterwards, she insisted on getting the recipe from her. Luckily, she had one. What was interesting to the friend is she noted that the two hind legs, the only legs they have, others are wings. The legs of the chicken, both of them were cut off, and they weren't served with the meal. And so although this chicken was incredible, she asked for the recipe, she got it, and true as Bob, on this recipe it also said, cut off the drumsticks and chuck it, whatever, use it for another meal. And so this friend was curious and asked the lady, listen, great, this was really some of the best roast chicken I've ever had. But I notice even the recipe said to remove the legs. I wasn't going to say something, but now I see it's intentional. What's up with that? So she says, honestly, I can't tell you. My mom did it too. And you know what? I suppose it's got something to do with the flavor cooking through the whole chicken and it leaves some vents. I don't know what, but it works. Did it work? And she had to admit it worked. Okay, fine. But the lady was curious, called her mom the next morning. Mom, why on earth did you write this down in this recipe? I've just been following it blindly. She said, well, it probably gives a better flavor, but I don't know for sure. I wrote down this recipe, but I was observing my mom. I was like, oh, goodness, okay. Now I have to call grandma. She can't even hear anymore, but she calls grandma. She says, grandma, you know that roast chicken you make? Yes, I remember. Why did you always remove their legs? And now she hadn't made it in a few years, so she really had to think about this. And she said to the girl, "Do you remove the legs?" "I did it like once or twice because I didn't have a big enough oven pan to fit the whole chicken." And that's what your mother learned. She was too poor for a new oven pan. And for three generations, they cooked the chicken without the best parts. Why? Because it has its own handle, the drumstick. And I feel like that's a message for us this morning. Are we preparing a meal but leaving out the best parts because of traditions? Are we maybe missing out on the best part of what God wants to do because, like Bryden's word, we weren't willing to embrace what God wants to do among us? And so, alternative title, The Pan That Can. But that's not really the title. No, it wasn't really. But we have heard this many times that we are creatures of habit, and I know it's the truth. But what is a habit? A habit is something that you do simply out of repetition and because that's just the way you do it. You do it and you do it and you do it and it's comfortable. But a habit, even if it's only for a few days or a few weeks, if left unchecked, a habit almost always becomes a tradition. And a habit is something that comes from repetition, but a tradition is something that comes from learning from the previous generation. So it becomes a tradition. And the scary thing is that in the church, if a tradition is left unchecked, it becomes religion. And that is the downfall of the establishment, denominational, age-old church, is that traditions took over the work of the Spirit of God. And Benny van Us beautifully said it once, walking into these cathedrals with the stained glass windows, and you see it's magnificent. It's like you're experiencing God himself in that place, but he's not there. Because, in his words, what was meant to be filled by power was replaced with pageantry. Beautiful. We make it beautiful because what was lacking in the beauty of what God can bring was void, and so we filled it. And so may we not be those this morning that's going to hold on to the traditions and the religions and the habits of a previous year simply because that worked. Anyway, I'm going to go down a tangent if I don't go on. But I want to remind you of what happened to Moses. God said to him, strike the rock. The water came out. A while down the line, God the Father said to him, now speak to the rock. And he struck the rock once more because that was his previous revelation. And God said to him, you will not inherit the promised land because he listened to an old revelation. Let's be close. Kom ons hou ons ore op die grond. Let's listen for God's voice. I want to read from Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. This prophetic word that was brought through the prophet Isaiah was brought to you. Who knows where the Israelites were at this time? Babylon. They were in exile. They have been for decades now been in a foreign land with an oppressive ruler, and God's saying, I'm doing a new thing, and I'm already doing it. Now, if you were in Israel's shoes, what was God planning here? He was going to overthrow the Babylonian Empire and send them back to their homeland, right? And everything was going to be honky-dory. Of course, a way in the wilderness. Literally, they would have to cross a desert. So surely that's what God meant. And they stuck to that belief. Except a man named Daniel was born. He was very wise, and God gave him the gift of interpreting dreams. And God gave him a place in the courts of the Babylonian Empire and the Babylonian king, Nebuchadnezzar, I think, and later more kings. That is what God did first before sending them home. Gave them favor in the land. He started making their people flourish under King Cyrus. And actually what they thought was going to happen was never what God intended. Years later, decades later, God said, now I'll give you favor and I'll send you back to your homeland. God never worked the way that they thought it was going to work. What happened a few hundred years later? The Pharisees are preaching about the coming Messiah. Who honestly believes that the Pharisees were really excited about the coming Messiah? I believe they were sincerely excited about the Messiah coming. I think they were anxiously waiting for the Messiah to come. But I think they were sitting with a template and a stencil and waiting for Jesus to fall right into that thing. But they never had the right idea of who this Messiah would be. And he came, and he was right in front of their eyes, and they missed the Messiah. because they insisted that God would work in the way that they had decided he would work. And I want us to think about it this morning. Have you already decided what God will do for you this year? How he will use you in his body? What he will do in your business? James says, don't even talk about next year. It's arrogant. No one knows what will happen. So the message is stay low, stay humble, stay teachable. Be in step with the Spirit. Don't go on yesterday's revelation. We need three things. We need one another. We need this Word of God, and we need the Holy Spirit. None of those in isolation. All of those together. And so when I say there are better days ahead, what I'm saying is don't look back. Who of you enjoy leftovers from a month ago? Yes. No. No. I'm not talking about frozen. It's horrible. And it might surprise you to know that that's exactly what we often insist on doing in the God's kingdom. It was so good that first time we had it that we don't even consider what God might be dishing up for us in the days to come. And I'm promising you now, I don't know if I'm allowed to quote this, but this is not your best life now by Joel Osteen. This is not a message about God's got better days ahead for you if you eat healthy and have good self-talk. This is about looking at Jesus and listening to the voice of the Spirit. In fact, the Word says you will have suffering in this life. So when I say the best days are yet to come, the best days for the kingdom is yet to come. And as long as you remain in that convoy traveling through the desert, you're in a good place as you follow that pillar of cloud and fire. So I'm saying, don't look back. I want to read you a good scripture for this. John 3, verse 8. Talking about how the God works. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone who is of the Spirit. Can we truthfully say this morning, I have no idea what's happening this afternoon. I don't know what's happening tomorrow. I don't care about what happened yesterday. Who has children under the age of 20? Who knows this quote? I didn't prepare this. I hope I get this right. Who knows the name Oogway? It's a very wise geriatric turtle. And I want to get this quote right. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. And today is a gift. That's why it's called the present. This is where God's moving. This is where God's moving. Guys, that wasn't part of my notes. Okay, that's not official. But this is where God's moving. There's instruction in Scripture about planning too far ahead and by reminiscing on the past. This is where God's moving. So I wonder if in Lamentations, you don't have to put it up, if the Lord says that he gives new mercy to us every day, do we suppose that God would give us new mercy, new grace, new insight, new guidance every single day when we wake up if there wasn't a need for something new to happen? Do I need new grace? Do I need new wisdom if I don't have a new challenge? Do I need new grace if I don't have a new mission ahead of me? Surely, if there's new mercy, there's new work to be done. And that's what we need to hear the Lord for. So if you are taking notes, I want to make 5 short points. And this won't speak to all of us at the same time. But I did trust the Lord. In what ways might we be holding back to the past that's going to grab us and actually choke us up for the future to miss what God's doing right now? And this is going to speak to different. So the first one is, if you find yourself in a place of doubting, this might be some of us who haven't been saved for that long. We haven't started our relationship. If you find yourself in a place of often doubting and looking back at your sin and what a filthy person you are and even were, and this is what's bogging you down, I want to remind you that the Word says there's no condemnation if you are in Christ Jesus. If you are in Christ Jesus this morning, looking at the past and looking at your past sins is actually sin. Who wants to recall what happened to Lot's wife? God said, I have a good future for you. I've given you grace to escape this city. But there's just one rule here. Look ahead. And she didn't. And she became a pillar of salt. And my encouragement to us this morning is don't look back at past sin. The Word actually says very, very easily, you are a new creation. The old is dead. The old has passed away. Let's look towards Jesus. Don't look towards the sin. Who here has got sin in their life right now? I'm not talking about serious, undealt with, like, I'm talking about who has sinned in the last week? Who has sinned in the last week? Who finds it helpful to sit on a heap and cry about it? Repent and look at Jesus. That's what we do. Repent and look at Jesus. The second point is, so that's if you're doubting. The second one is if you're dry. If you're feeling dry this morning, I want to encourage you. The temptation will be to look at yesterday's miracles. But guess what? Yesterday is history. Okay, I'll stop with the quote now. Yesterday is in the past. Yesterday's miracles don't mean anything. Talking about stale food. What did the Israelites do with manna? God said, I will provide fresh manna for you every single day. One rule, don't store up for tomorrow. They did it. They did it. It was filled with worms, maggots, flies. And you know what God said? Since you liked it so much, you're going to eat it for 40 years. And they didn't have much. There were a few, maybe just Moses. But there weren't that many new miracles to speak about in the years to come. And they wandered around the wilderness for 40 years because they so loved the old miracles they didn't even trust for new ones. If we are holding on to and often talking about our old miracles, it means we're not trusting God for new ones. Let's trust God for new miracles. He can. Trevor had a conversation with me recently that he just said, why do you think God's not moving like he used to? Like, why aren't we seeing limbs growing back in front of our eyes in this very day? Does Scripture not say it will happen? Trust God for new miracles. The Scripture says our faith or the lack thereof will hinder God's work. Let's trust. The third one is, are you struggling along the lines of provision and knowing where's your next meal coming from? Are you struggling with what's happening next? I've got children, there's school fees, whatever. Are you struggling to come to terms with what your financial situation maybe is? Again, yesterday's provision. Don't hold on to, don't look back to yesterday's provision. What happened to the Israelites again, after the manna thing? They longed back for Egypt. Do you know what happened to them in Egypt? They were whipped. They were slaves. They had like terrible life, but you know what they did have? They had food. How many of you find that the moment you chose Jesus and you really started following, all of a sudden it feels like some of your luxuries just started disappearing? God, I used to shop at Woolies. Now I'm forced to shop wherever you shop. Well, I shop at Checkers. God, what happened? I thought you're going to bless me. And God's saying, don't look back to Egypt. What you also had in Egypt was cuffs and chains. You might have had food, but you had other problems. So trust God for provision. Because on the other side of that Jordan River, God gave them the Fertile Crescent, I think they call it. The beautiful land that could grow just about anything. To this day, Israel, as dry as it seems when you look at it, it's some of the most fertile land in the world. The fourth one, are you feeling defeated? How many of you had a good laugh at the beach during this holiday? When you see someone that can't really swim and they really try it and the waves, there's this video anyway, the waves knocks them down and they're halfway up and the wave just comes again and it's like, you can just see, I've been there, sister. Maybe not in the water, but in life. How many of you have felt that thing where you just feel like the waves are battering you? If it's not the car that needs replacement of four tires at the same time, it's the child that's vomiting because they've got a tummy bug. Like, you just feel defeated. There's literally no victory on any front. We just spoke about Israel and Babylon. They were the most significant and powerful force. When they conquered that land of Canaan, they wiped out every tribe in that land of Canaan. And a few decades later, they're sitting in Babylon, defeated under a king who's using them as slaves and making them bow to their king, to their God. And they're sitting here, God, what happened? We're having no victories anymore. And God eventually sends them what they really needed. Who knows, when we spoke about that way in the wilderness, it was directly cross-referenced with what John the Baptist said about Jesus Christ. He's preparing a way in the wilderness. And so while these Israelites were wondering about what's going to happen and how God's going to send them back to Israel, really Isaiah was prophesying about Jesus hundreds of years later. The last one is, and this is what I feel really highlighted for us this morning. Are you comfortable? Have you become so settled and in your groove that you don't want to turn a corner, not one degree, because you've got a rhythm going? And I think that's where God's shaking our cages this morning. Let's get out of the box. The word talks about new wine in an old wineskin. They're not compatible. They're not compatible. Who knows what a wineskin is? They didn't have glass bottles, if you can believe it. So they kept it in these sacks that held the wine. But if that thing was left dry, who's had a swimming pool? What do you call them? Opslan. Like the frame pools. Leave that thing out in the sun empty for a while. The next time you put water in that thing, it just leaks everything out. It's been cracked in the sun. And that's the same analogy with the wineskin. God can't do new things in old housings. And we're going to look at that just a little bit more just now. But old things don't accommodate new ways, and that's a fact. So where is our security if we have to do things in a new way? If we have to do things in a way that we've never done them before, and all we're really doing is shutting our eyes and blindly following Jesus. I mean, that is the thing that we often say, don't just follow blindly. Yes, we need to follow Jesus blindly. What is faith if not following blindly? We need to be following Jesus blindly. Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 8 says this. Also, a famous portion of scripture, trust the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will bring healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. This morning when Dan said, take a deep breath, who of you felt like you couldn't because your throat was all closed in from anxiety? What's happening in my life? What's the year holding? Anything can happen. Well, it's telling us here, it'll be refreshment to you when you stop leaning on your own understanding. And so, as I'm landing this now, I want to say this. I think I'm still good for time. There's three spheres in which this is happening, and it's important that we get all three of them right. Where is God doing a new thing? The first thing is, God is doing a new thing to you. That means God is going to create testimonies in your life. He's going to send you challenges and he's going to help you overcome them. He's going to test your faith sometimes, but he's sending things your way. It's like those little games you get on your phone on a track where you can't stop it, but you just have to dodge. Sometimes it's dodge, sometimes it's embrace. And so God is sending something new your way. If you're trusting for a new testimony, if you're trusting for fresh manna, get in the race. God is going to send new things your way. And you need to let him send it your way. Because if you let him do that successfully, then a new thing is not just going to happen to you, but it's going to happen inside of you. That's the second thing. A new thing must happen inside of us. God often speaks in scripture about the hardness of their hearts, a heart of stone. If what's happening around us and to us and with the people around us is not changing us from the inside out, it's not serving its purpose. He wants to turn this heart of stone into a heart of flesh. He wants to change us from the inside out. How do we do that? Well, it starts here as we see what God's doing, and then it drops into our spirits, and we acknowledge God. Not only is this word good for hearing, not only is this work good for seeing, it only comes to fruition when it starts transforming my heart. And so my encouragement to you is be teachable this year. Lean into those around you. I'm not saying go to Dan to teach you how to cook. Do you cook well? I don't know. Something told me you don't. I'm not saying go to Lizette to teach how to fix your car. Let's lean into those who God has blessed around us with a certain skill set and who we can lean into and draw from one another. Because testimonies is what we learn from. I'm struggling with my thought life. The devil is tempting me every day. Who of you, my brothers, have been through this very same challenge and gained victory? And as I draw from you, I will become changed from the inside. And finally, and importantly, a new thing is happening through you. And that's what's called the holy U-turn. It starts on the outside. It transforms you on the inside. But if it never goes out and you start blessing one another with that gift again, it's like the Dead Sea that has no outflow. No outflow. The most freshest, most life living water, the Sea of Galilee, it's wildly alive. And just a few kilometers down the road, when that River Jordan dies down in that sea, nothing happens anymore because there's no outflow. Let's not be those who sit in our pew. Let's be the church with our chairs. Let's be those who bring our gift. Let's be those who serve others with our gift. And so if you allow God to do new things to you, and you allow those things to transform you as he works through you, you have to align to work with others through you as well. And so in closing, I want to end off with this one portion of scripture. And maybe I can ask you to reflect on this for a moment as we just close our eyes and ask the Lord to shine a light in our own lives. You don't have to put it on the board. I just want to read this scripture. When the Pharisees asked Jesus, why is it that everyone else is fasting, but not your people? And why is it that everyone else are keeping these laws, but not your disciples? Jesus' answer about these man-made traditions was the following. No one tears a piece from a new garment and puts it on an old garment. If he does, he will tear the new, and the piece from the new will not match the old. And no one puts new wine into an old wineskin. If it does, the new wine will burst the skins and it will be spilled, and the skins will be destroyed. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. And now this is the important part. If you're enjoying that old revelation and that old way too much, the scripture says, and no one after drinking old wine desires the new, because they will say that the old is good. Let's not be those that will settle for the old, stale wine this morning. Let's be those who go for what God has brought. Someone else also brought this thing about new wine. God's bringing new wine this year. And the good news is that the pressure is not on me or anyone else here to tell you what that new wine will be. That will be brought by Jesus himself. But what he's saying is get those wineskins ready. Can I ask that we just stand for a moment as we respond to the Lord? So I realize for the beginning of the year, this might be a very challenging message, because as much as we had a celebration of sorts about what God is doing and how there's a new thing, we can be those who's dancing here like mad people because of the new things God is doing, but some of us are standing outside the stream. Wow, look at what God's doing over there. Look at my brother. God's doing great things in his life. But the reality is, some of us are not inside of that thing. I've said it before. We can't afford to oversleep when we're traveling through that wilderness. And God says to Moses in that morning, Moses, today is the time. Pack up your camp. We're going further towards the promised land. And you decided today was a good day to sleep in. You're missing it. By the time you wake up, it's going to be you and sand and dust. And all of those hundreds of thousands of Israelites are going to be in the next town already. And you're going to miss it. And what God's asking us this morning, and Jesus always said, leave everything behind and follow me. So as he's doing a new thing this morning, our challenge is this. I don't want to look at you going somewhere, Jesus. I want to go there with you. I want to drop my nets this morning. I want to leave up this life of fishing and nonsense. I want to follow you. And even in the thing that I'm doing daily, I want to follow you. What matters? Nets are going to burn. Whatever you're building is going to burn. It's going to burn. That thing that you're going to build tomorrow morning is burning on that day. What won't burn is what you allow Jesus to do in your life. And so this morning, will we be those that says, here I am, Lord. Send me. Send me. But even before you send me, change me. Change me, Lord. I don't want to be like a bottle with a hole in, with new water in it and just spilling everything out. I want to hold what you're giving me this year, Lord. So let's just close our eyes for a moment.